So we're going to keep hiring. We're going to make the dream team even better and add more providers. I want to reiterate how good it is to have a good employee. One thing Paul said, he said, you need doers underneath you.
This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me.
Hello, podcast listeners. It's Beth, your marketing manager here at Paul Gough Media. On this Tuesday episode, we're going back to our Ultimate CEO competition that happened here in Orlando back in 2019, where we had the top clinic owners from around the world battling it out to win a trip to London. Today, you'll be tuning in to hear contestant Paul Jones explain his life story and how he came to be a PT clinic owner, his experience of what it was like to open a business after Hurricane Katrina, and how his business grew to the point where there were two clinics, but he was struggling to manage them both. If you like this podcast and want to be a leader in your clinic like Mr. Paul Jones displayed, you're in luck. Our very own Paul Gough is hosting this year's Ultimate CEO competition in his hometown of sunny Celebration, Florida. Can't travel right now? Don't worry. This hybrid event will be available for you to watch from the comfort of your own couch. And if you're still not convinced it's right for you, just head to paulsbigevent.com to see who our special guest from ABC's television hit show Shark Tank will be. I'm excited and hope to see you there. Now let's get the show started.
I'm going to give you a worked example, some things I did, some things I didn't. But let's start by talking about me. So my favorite subject. I'm not from here. I'm from Scotland. That's a picture of me as a little boy. Born and raised, I actually wanted to be a scientist. And I went to work at a vet school. They put me through college. I got a degree in biology. And I decided that I didn't want to do that at one point. And I said, let me go into physio school. So I applied to 3 physiotherapy schools. And I didn't get into any of them. So I thought, well, that's it. And then I got a call from a tiny school in a tiny town in the north of England called Middlesbrough that I'd never heard of. And they said, if you can come down here, we've got a position for you. We've got a slot for you. Middlesbrough, as it turns out, is 12 miles from Hartlepool. So this comes in later into the story. So I was there for 3 years. And towards the end of my stay there, I was contacted by a company in Virginia, and they said, you know, there's a big shortage of PTs here in the U.S., and would you like to come over and take a job over here? So I said, well, what do you have? And they said, we got 2 jobs. One's in Carlsbad, New Mexico, and the other one's New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is pre-internet, so I had to go to the library. Does anybody remember pre-internet going to the library? So I went to the library, and I looked up Carlsbad, New Mexico, and it's famous for having a very high crime rate and a giant cave full of bats. So I went to New Orleans. When I arrived in New Orleans, I was very poor. I had about $200. I had a bummer ride to work until I had enough money to buy my own car. So I saved up $800 and I bought a car. I got the Fred Flintstone version. It had no, you could actually see the road through the floor. And it had no air conditioning. So that's how I got to work. And Louisiana is really, really hot. It's like, you know, hotter than the sun. It's 100 degrees, it's 100% humidity, and it's very hard to get to work in a car with no air conditioning and not arrive in a puddle of sweat. So I found this strategy really, really worked. What it is you drive to work in your underwear and you get dressed, and then you go in the building, and you're not too shabby at that point. So I come from a country where they drive on the left side of the road, and as my friends from the UK know, it's pretty easy to switch sides until you forget. And so one day I'm driving to work, and I turn into the wrong side of the road, and all of a sudden, shit, I'm like oncoming traffic, left-hand side of the road, in my underwear, in my Fred Flintstone car. Of course, there's a cop right there, so I get pulled over. I still had an accent that back then, so I managed to play, you know, dumb foreigner and get out of that. So anyway, after that, I moved to Florida. Lived there for a couple of years, but I always really liked the New Orleans area, so I came back and met my wife, Melissa. And I'm a traditional guy. I wanted to marry her, so I asked her parents first, and they said, you can marry our daughter, but you can never leave Louisiana. And you know, I tell this story a lot, and a lot of guys go, yeah, that's right, that's right. I married a girl from Louisiana. Those parents told me the same thing. And you know, in Louisiana, nobody ever leaves. There are towns that everybody has the same last name. I'm not kidding. So anyway, we're still there. I actually like Louisiana. And I've worked in all different areas in physical therapy. I've worked in outpatient, inpatient, wound care, home health, all the stuff. But I've always wanted to own my own business. And I always would hear the negative talk. You know, doctors don't refer to clinics that they don't own a piece of. Insurance networks won't let you in. There's two clinics in this town already. You can't possibly have three. And so in 2005, I decided just to ignore all this advice and go in all in. And I went to my wife, because I always go to her for the big decisions. You should always do that. I said, hey, honey, let's mortgage the house and open a clinic. And she said, okay. So we bought an office condo. We started building it out. This is in August 2005. And 2 weeks later, Hurricane Katrina came through. And it's very hard to describe what it's like when you hit when you run through a natural disaster like that, because everything just kind of flips on its head. You don't have any food or water. You're going to get out for a couple of weeks. Then you have to come back, and you have to learn how to use a chainsaw and all this stuff. So anyway, our area actually did relatively well. We had opened this clinic, and we had meant to be open in like a month and a half. But it took us 6 months to get the doors open. And I think it really worked for us. It worked to our advantage because we had six more months to get out there and talk to people and market and get our name known. So once we had the door open, we had some patients. Also, we had, I just learned recently that our population doubled in the year after that. So we had a lot of people coming to our area looking for services. And I think that really helped us in the long run. So we started off, Melissa at the front desk, me in the back treating patients, and then running out and getting more patients. And then we had a front desk, and then we hired some techs, and then we hired some PTs. And eventually we got to two locations. And at that point, you know, we kind of got stuck because I was running back and forth between the clinics. And you know, when I'm in one clinic, it's doing great, and the other clinic's kind of going down. So I switch over to the other clinic, and that clinic's doing great, and the first clinic's going down. And so also in our environment, we were losing referrals because a lot of hospitals in the area were buying out doctor's offices. I had one doctor call me. He said, Paul, I can't send you any more patients. I just became an employee of Lakeview, and Lakeview said, I can't send any referrals out. So we were kind of suffering from this environment. And also I had no idea where the money was coming from. I was just running around treating and operating, and I didn't really know what was going on. And we had months when we were doing really well and months when we were doing really badly. And I remember the words of a friend of mine. He had an orthotics and prosthetics company. And he gave me some words of advice when I first went into business. He said, Paul, owning a business is like having a pet alligator. It's really cool. And everybody thinks you're really cool because you got a pet alligator. But the truth is, if you don't feed the alligator, it's going to fucking eat you. And so I was feeling it. The alligator was starting to gnaw at my leg some months. And then, hallelujah, we get direct access in 2016, full-on direct access. And, you know, for most PTs, we really don't know what to do with that. We're like, okay, so where are the patients? Why aren't they running in our door? And so I started to try and experiment and figure out what's going to work for me. And I got out and started marketing a little bit, and it really wasn't working. And then 2017, Jared Carter said, well, why don't you go check out this guy, Paul Goff? And so I went on YouTube, and I started watching his videos. And I'm like, that accent sounds familiar. And that town looks very familiar, too. Wait a minute. He has four cash clinics in that part of the country where I lived, where my house got robbed four times, where they stole my boombox. I'm still upset about that. So I joined Accelerator, And I did like I was told. I carved out some time in my week, and I implemented all of Accelerate, or as much of it as I could. And then I got invited to Mastermind Chicago, and that was just, it was a turning point for me, because it's just like today, we had about 50 people in the room, and it's all people in private practice, all people trying to solve the same problems as me. And prior to that, I knew some people in private practice, but they were my direct competition, so it's not really a collegial relationship. But I really enjoyed Chicago, and I enjoyed all of the speakers and all the ideas and all the content. And so I went home and started implementing that too. I got slides, don't I? Yeah. Down? Okay, so things started to look pretty good in 2018. We're starting to get more a steady stream of patients, and things were going well, but I kind of got stuck again. Had all these patients coming in. I had a good flow of patients, but my numbers really weren't going up. And then CEO came along, and I said, I want to do that. I know I'm stuck somewhere. I need some help. And I did that because I know I'm the kind of guy, I'm like a lot of people. I need a coach. I need a team. I need a deadline. I need people watching me. Otherwise, I'll just get on Facebook all day. And so I joined CEO, and it was quite intimidating. We had, you know, the big names like Carrie Jose, you know, and Jake Berman. And I'm like, shit, these people are going to tear me apart. So, but, you know, that discomfort is like, you know, you need to grow. So my biggest pain points, we identified these early on in CEO, my biggest pain points were hiring and training. I had systems, and I'm thinking, my systems are not working. The truth was, the people in my business were not working. One of the things I learned was that the people who get you from A to B, that entrepreneurial area that Paul was talking about, to the place where you need to grow to be a CEO, those people may not be the people to take you to that level. In my case, almost everybody had to go. So I get to be the whacker king or whatever. So hiring and training, that was my big problem. Financial control, I had no idea. The money just flows into the bank account. Woo, we're rich. Flows back out. Oh shit, we're poor. And I had no idea what was going on. I needed to get a better handle on that. And then also oversight and accountability. I couldn't do it all. I couldn't run around two clinics, keep an eye on everybody. So the other thing they told me was I needed a general manager. So I came home. I said to one of my office managers, I thought, well, she's good enough. You can be general manager. Guess what happened next? So yeah, she crashed and burned. And Lacey, who is my marketing manager, who had helped me get my steady stream of patients coming in 2018, said, well, I'd like a shot at being general manager. And I said, well, it's a really big job. I'm going to pair you up with Melissa. So Melissa and Lacey are my general manager team. We're going to talk about them in a minute. So what did they do? So first of all, they started hiring better people and got the bad fits off the bus. One of the things we learned, and this is a little nugget for you guys, is that we started interviewing people as a group. And I've got a real blind spot when it comes to PTs, because I'm like, they're going to make money for me, they're going to get me out of the clinic. And so we interview them as a trio. And the PT would walk out, and I'd say, that looked like a really good candidate. And they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Did you see how that person flinched when you said accountability? I totally missed it. So we started doing this for everybody, and it works really well because we all do have blind spots, and we're learning each other's blind spots, and we're able to advise each other and get much better hires as a result. One thing we noticed is once you start hiring good people, the bad people are like, oh shit, I better get off the bus. So they go and get on somebody else's time clock. So we had a lot of people quit just because they didn't like it. They've worked on each department. My business has been a series of bottlenecks. First of all, I didn't have enough patients. Then I had enough patients, and then my front desk was starting to screw up. They weren't able to handle it. They weren't following the scripting. They weren't using the systems. So we had to get rid of those people or retrain them. And then the next thing, my therapists start complaining because they got this huge volume of patients coming through, and it's not what they were used to. They were used to a little more leisurely pace. Once we changed out, we actually kept some of our PT department. They were okay with it. The ones that weren't okay with it had to go. And then the next thing you know, our billing department is getting overwhelmed because the PTs are producing so much revenue that this person couldn't keep up. So that's kind of where we are right now. They're working on the billing department. They're finding phenomenal amounts of cash in my AR. So thank you very much, you guys. So we also implemented Cockpit. I implemented Profit First, so I know where all the money's coming from. I know where it's going, and that helps me a lot. So down, Paul. So how does my company look today? So fully staffed with the right people. I'm lying. It's probably about 90%. So we have some changes to make. Those people probably know who they are. I'm in the process of training a new hire physical therapist, and we're looking at another one to train coming up. So everybody has KPIs and scorecards. Our scorecards are on the give table. I want you all to take a look. Scorecards were just a phenomenal change in the business. Scorecards divide your staff into people who you want on board and who you don't want on board. People who like to be accountable love scorecards. They will show up with their scorecard, all typed out, and they'll have, you know, suggestions, and they'll be like, I did all this week. Is there anything else I can do for you? And the people who don't like scorecards, they'll, you know, dog ate my homework. They'll come with something half scribbled on a piece of paper, or they'll forget, or they get a headache that day. And I mean, it's just such a contrast. So those people just, they have to go. So scorecards have been great. KPIs have been great. And my whole business is now overseen by my general managers, thing one and thing two there. That was Halloween. How's my personal life look? Well, I'm sleeping a lot better. A full bank account means a good night's sleep for me. I haven't seen the alligator in a while. Making a lot more income. Like I said, we did Profit First, which was very helpful. I learned about Profit First in this group. About to take a 3-week vacation to England. I'll be in London this time next week. So what's next? So we're going to keep hiring. We're going to make the dream team even better and add more providers. I want to reiterate how good it is to have a good employee. One thing Paul said, he said, you need doers underneath you. And my general manager team has hired doers. I had an office manager for 10 years, and I'd say, hey, Darlene, I need this report. You know, give me a report on the number of Blue Cross Blue Shield patients we have in the clinic. We take it all fucking week, and none of our other work would get done, and the report would be wrong. Now I've got Taylor. I'm like, hey, Taylor, give me this report. She comes back in 3 hours. It's done with bells on, and all of our other work gets done. And I got three of those now, so I'm just waking up to the possibilities of what you can get done with good staff. And you know, my blind spot was I just tolerated people who weren't getting the job done for so long. So next thing we're doing, we're getting out of less productive contracts. So pumpkin plan. So all the rotten pumpkins have to go. We're going to work on our better insurance contracts, our better referral sources. Same work, more money, right? And then once we get to that point, we're going to consider a third location. There is actually room for another provider in each location. We have two locations. So we can increase our profitability a lot without increasing overhead too much. So that's the next one. All right, show me the money. So 2017, 800K-ish, that's what my accountant says. We all know what accountants say. Profit negligible or negative. I hate to say it, but I borrowed some of that money because I was feeding the alligator. So 2018, 1.23 million profit, 197,658. I'd like to point out that 2018 is an optimization of 2017. It's the same staff. I just had implemented all the systems that I learned here in this group. 2019 is where we started changing the people in the practice. 2019 has been a tumultuous year. A lot of people have got off the bus. We're really looking at who's working here. So we got 1.36 million probably. I think we're gonna make more because the money is just coming in so much faster. Profit, as far as I can tell, is 301,669. I forgot to add that we own a building, so it pays for a building, so that's like a little bit more benefit for us. Anyway, What was I going to say? So I have a thing called CRS. Can't remember shit. So sometimes I'll stop and have to think for a little bit. So I'd like to say 2019. So look at those numbers. When I got out of school in Middlesbrough, a junior physiotherapist in the NHS was making the princely sum of £8,000. So you basically have to go live with your parents. I think they're making £20,000 now, I'm not sure. Anyway, I never thought I would be standing here talking about millions. So, and also, I used to drive around a car with a hole in the floor in my underwear. So wherever you're starting, you can get where you want to go. So.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @ThePaulGough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.